Hello, Christoph here, and today I'm going to talk to you for about 30 minutes about literature that has helped shape me that I learned when I was in high school, as well as literature that I've thought about bringing into my own classroom that I will one day have. To start off, I'm going to tell you about how I kind of hated English classes. I found them like pulling teeth, mainly because we focus largely on grammar and essay writing. For the most part, I found that the traditional English class meant that I had to learn boring books and I had to do boring essays, and worst of all, I had to publicly speak. Which I find really strange because throughout high school I was a theater kid, but I still hated public speaking. But I think it's because every year our teacher would choose a topic that we had to speak about and we had to do the speech. However, my distaste for English did change drastically, thank God. Something seemed to click for me in grade 11. My English teacher encouraged a large amount of creative writing. We often got to choose what we wanted to do, and we could dissect a short story through an essay, or instead respond to it using poetry. And my marks also changed drastically. I went from, you know, coasting along with a C+ and not really trying in my English homework to actually looking forward to English classes and getting much higher grades. He also taught us through a variety of texts, such as, you know, the film Viva Vendetta, and graphic novels such as Moss and The Diary from Diary of Anne Frank. As I began to excel in English 11, my teacher did something interesting. He actually noticed me and noticed how hard I was working. I told him it was because I really enjoyed the units that we were doing. He thought my interest was great, and he asked me what kind of novels I enjoyed reading. This question actually embarrassed me. It meant that I had to admit to him that I honestly probably have never read outside of class. I told him I watched movies and played video games, but I've never really sat down with a book and enjoyed it. From then on, he began to actually suggest readings for me outside of class times, and I began actually reading them. I read books like The Perks of Being a Wallflower and The Catcher in the Rye. Two books which still remain some of my favorite books of all time. It was not until that experience that I think I ever actually realized that reading could be a source of pleasure and joy. However, I still would say that I'm not really well versed in my readings. I mean, I have read some of the classics, like 1984 or The Great Gatsby, but overall I'm pretty limited in what the classic novel is. What I do read a lot of are plays. And that connects to one final thing my grade 11 teacher taught me. The final thing this English 11 teacher introduced me to was Macbeth. And Macbeth was the first time I enjoyed a Shakespeare play. The teacher was constantly finding ways to liven it up by having students either attempt to act it out or simply read the scenes out loud and do silly things like flash the lights when the lightning was going off in the play. And this made reading the play exciting. Macbeth also appealed to my teenager interests with all the blood and gore. To get bonus marks in the class, we even could memorize a short piece from the text and perform it for the class. A monologue which I still have memorized, and one that I won't do now, but you can ask me at another time. Reflecting on what my grade 11 teacher was doing, is he was kind of finding ways to provoke my interest both inside and outside of class. I could see a lot of similarities from him and the reading literature circles Voice and Choice in book clubs and reading books by Harvey Daniels. You know, my teacher was fostering a chance for me to excel in independent reading, as Daniels says. According to the reports, that independent reading does not get enough of a push and the publicity that it deserves. My teacher was constantly finding chances to push his students towards independent reading by suggesting books to read outside of class time and providing lots of chance to read inside of class. Perhaps because I was never encouraged until that point to just read for the pure pleasure independently, I never realized how enjoyable it could be. Now, in an effort to read more, I'm always reading a novel. And I'll start the next one right after I finish the last one. Currently, I'm reading Doctor Sleep by Stephen King before the film is released. When my teacher allowed for his students to choose to respond to a text either creatively or academically through an essay, he was either unintentionally or purposely using reader response theory created by Louise Rosenblatt and her transactional view of literature. It was as important as the text we were reading to my teacher what our reaction to that text was. And he encouraged us to use our initial reaction to creatively respond to the text that we were studying. Furthermore, later in the reading by authors Mary Lou Brandvik and Catherine S. McKnight, it says that you should give the students option and choices when responding to literature. This is exactly what my teacher was doing, and it was important for me because it provided me encouragement in practice and experience in responding to literature into a way that I already like doing. I also believe that my grade 11 teacher chose his literature and style and approaches to teaching to keep his students within the zone of proximal development, a theory created by Vygotsky. He often presented his information so that it was challenging enough that it never seemed too simple and we needed his mentorship. But it was never too challenging that I was disengaged and I was like, I can't do this. Furthermore, I think him recommending me extra novels to read kept challenging me and kept me reading and kept me interested and looking forward to his class. When he chose books like Moss by Art Spiegelman and The Diary of Anne Frank, I think my teacher was encouraging the Russian theory intertextuality by Mikhail Bracton, as talked about in the article you wrote, Expanding Notions, a perspective on the challenges facing contemporary language arts teachers. Because we studied both texts recently, one after another, we were able to see two different World War II texts that had a lot of differences, but also had a lot of similarities. One from a really young female who lived through the war hiding, and one told from the perspective of someone's son reflecting upon his father's own experiences during the war. It also allowed me to connect readings to my own personal family's history about living through the war and concentration camps. All these different points of views and texts allowed me to form connections between them and have a good understanding of literature from World War II. Finally, I noticed a connection between my grade 11 teacher's teaching style and the article, Can We Read Today or Do We Have to Do English?, by the fact that he always measured my interest and suggested books for me to read. He asked me questions about the books that I enjoyed reading and helped me dissect the characters. Furthermore, he would encourage a discussion of novels with other students who had read the same book as me so that I could talk to people my age about them. He also provided a large time for me in class to read many of the books we were reading. Finally, during Macbeth, he would allow for a lot of out loud reading with many students asking questions and having an opportunity to read out loud. Oftentimes, our English class didn't seem like the silent English classes I always used before. There was actually a lot of talking, a lot of speaking, and asking questions. When it comes to my own teaching practices, I want my students to feel like I'm taking an interest in things that they would enjoy when helping them choose novels that would appeal to them. In order to do this, I'll have a classroom library with a huge, diverse collection and encourage students to find joys in reading for pleasure. I will also find time to speak to each individual student and ask them what they're interested in. I will often use teaching tactics like the literature circle so that my students have options to choose things that appeal to their personal interests and ways to look at books that also they're interested in looking at books that way. There's really no reason for reading to be a chore, especially when there are so many stories available. I honestly think there has to be a story that every student would like, especially the ones who say that they don't like reading. Perhaps they just haven't learned how to read in a way that is just as relaxing and enjoying as watching a film or movie, and as exciting as playing a video game. When being asked with the task of choosing one basic text that could serve as a core for a lesson plan or teaching, and, you know, the holy grail of all books, the same collection of short stories kept coming back to me. And that was The Chronicles of Harris Burdick. If you have not heard of this collection of short stories, I highly recommend it. The first element of the book is the mysterious tone that goes along with it. One time there was this publisher named Peter Wenders who met an artist named Harris Burdick who was writing a children's book. He showed him 14 pictures with 14 captions and 14 titles for this collection of stories that he was writing. The publisher was extremely interested in the stories and offered Harris Burdick immediately a deal. So Harris promised Wenders that he would be back tomorrow with the stories that went along with these pictures and captions. But Harris Burdick was never seen again. Peter Wenders and the police searched for him, but he disappeared without a trace. At first, the pictures with just the captions were published in a book called The Mysteries of Harris Burdick. All these photos have a sense of mystery or dark and eerie tone. Something about them seems weird or dark, especially for a children's book. But now they have released The Chronicles of Harris Burdick, where 14 different authors attempt to make stories to go along with these images. Writers like Chris Van Allsburg or Stephen King and Lemony Snicket and more. Of course, the story of Harris Burdick is just a fiction created by Chris Van Allsburg, but the mystery that this fiction creates around the stories is great to bring into the classroom and engage the students in this collection of short stories. Furthermore, the photos are really amazing and really thought-provoking. It reminds me a lot of the photos from the graphic novel The Arrival. Also, the stories themselves are pretty good. Each of the stories from the Harris Burdick Chronicles are very different from each other, but they each also share this mysterious tone and this darker children's story that the photos provoke. And since Stephen King has been the author that I've been reading constantly lately, I will quickly summarize his contribution to the book. His story is titled The House on Maple Street. Each story begins with the caption and the image that you will find out happens later in the story. This image shows a house lifting off the ground mysteriously, and the caption says, "It was a perfect liftoff." The story is about the four Bradbury children and their new stepfather, Lewis. The Bradbury children discover metal mysteriously growing underneath a crack in the house on the third floor. Throughout the story, the metal seems to spread as they drill into the wall looking for it, and they start to see it grow further and further and deeper into the house. Meanwhile, their new stepfather, who's a professor, is horrible to their mom. Their stepfather is easily tempered, and the children are really scared of him. Their mother begins having this migraine that will never go away for a week. One day, at a dinner party, their mother faints and the whole party's concerned and the kids run downstairs, but the stepfather seems to show no concern for their mother and actually punishes the kid for coming downstairs during his party. The children find this countdown timer growing out of this weird metal seat that could never fit a human in the wine cellar in the basement. When it comes close to the timer going off, they call for their mom from a payphone and get her out of the house, but they also create an elaborate plan to get their stepfather to come home from work so that they can lock him in the study in the house. And when the timer finally reaches zero, the house bursts off the ground and takes off with the father still trapped in the house. The kids say, thank God they're finally free from their stepfather, but the oldest son says that their mother is actually finally free from them. I would use this book in an English language art at about a grade 9 level. First, I would introduce to them to the photos and captions of the book. I would ask them, what in the photo do they see? What does this photo really make them think? what do they believe is happening, and what questions does this photo make them wonder about? Immediately, this little activity from the story appeals to the BC curriculum's big ideas that, you know, questioning what we hear, read, view contributes to our ability to be educated and engaged citizens. This allows the students to immediately respond to what they're viewing and to question what they're viewing. I would also probe them a little bit and ask them why they are seeing the things that they think they are seeing, and can they interpret the image in a specific way. I would show them multiple images from the books. It also appeals to the BC's curriculum that people understand text differently depending on their worldviews and perspectives, because two students may see and think different things from this visual text, and both of their viewing and interpretation of this text are valid. After having a discussion, or maybe getting them to think, pair, and share about these questions, I would ask them one final set of questions. How would they describe the tone of these images and captions? Does the caption itself change the tone of that image? And what does this image, title, and caption make you predict about the story? This would allow the students an opportunity to explain tone. This is also setting them up, the students, to develop skills to be good readers. From the PowerPoint on September 30th, the act of constructing meaning in a text is strategic, and readers should have a purpose for their reading and use a variety of strategies and skills to construct meaning. Immediately, this provides the students a purpose for why we are looking at this text, one that will continue throughout the lesson. We would want to work with our predictions and tone that the reader immediately sees and attempt to see if it remains true for the rest of the story. This opening element of introducing the students to the text also elaborates on the grade 9 English language arts core competencies of exchanging ideas and viewpoints to build a shared understanding and extend thinking, because each of the students would get to build on another student's ideas. Finally, I hope this introduction to the stories helps scaffold the students into a skilled way of looking at the text and build upon these skills throughout the lesson. I hope that it, similarly to Vygotsky, won't be too easy or too hard for them, but somewhere in the middle and building on prior knowledge. I would then give the students just one page from the story without the context of the rest of the complete story. I would provide them photocopies of random pages from the stories, and I'll allow the students to find time to explore and find a page that they like. Hopefully I'd give them enough time for them to find something in the story that they enjoy or stands out, or maybe the tone of that page is why they chose it. I would use about four stories if it was a class about 20, so that five of the groups are reading different pages from the same story. Again, I would ask them to expand on their knowledge of tone that they have learned. This again relates to Vygotsky's theory that we learned from the PowerPoint on building good readers on September 30th. We're developing a prior knowledge and new knowledge and interweaving them all together. The students could get in groups of people who chose a page from the same story as them, and they could think, pair, and share what they think that tone of the simplified text that they have. Each of these stories are much more than about five pages. Then I would explain to them what blackout poetry is and see if someone in the class knows, and I can expand on their definition. I would also provide them some examples of blackout poetry, specifically examples where they transform the words to look like an image, or they transform the parts of the poem that are blacked out to look like something. The reason I would use blackout poetry is often because students at this age are intimidated by poetry. It also allows them to transfer the tone of the story or even make a new tone from the poetry. They could take words that create a whole different thing than what the story is about. This method also allows for allows for the students who aren't afraid to excel, and the students who are scared at trying poetry to find a method that is more removed and less personal for them. Most importantly, it allows for the big idea from the grade 9 curriculum that language and story can be a source of creativity and joy, and also two of the curricular competencies that students will be able to transform ideas and information to create original texts, and that students will respond to texts in personal, creative, and critical ways, because they're taking a page of a short story and turning it into poetry. What makes me excited about the English Language Arts curriculum is how many opportunities it provides for students. It also focuses on encouraging students to explore text in less conventional ways, and something that would have really appealed to me in high school would be to be creative with text often. That would have made me thrive. This would also allow a gateway for my students in the future to find something that they're passionate in. Perhaps the poetry could lead to bigger poems written by themselves. Finally, the students would be able to read the full story that their page was from. They could then compare the tone of the full story to their blackout poetry and the tone of the photos, finding similarities in all three or differences in all three. Although this is just a short story little unit I've thought of, I think it also takes at certain points incorporates all six of the language arts: reading, writing, viewing, listening, representing, and speaking. Furthermore, this allows for both an efferent and aesthetic response from Louise Rosenblatt's transactional reader response theory. When finding things like tone in the story and image, the student is having an efferent response. However, when creating something new through the blackout poetry, there's an aesthetic response that is hopefully being highlighted for that student. Overall, I think my personal literature journey in grade 11 will always influence my teaching in the future. My teacher provided this very diverse variety of texts that helped engage me and made me excited to find out what was going to happen next. I'm lucky to have him as a mentor, and it is good to remember how it felt when someone helped me discover a passion that I never even realized I had. I hope one day in my own classroom, I'll be able to use a variety of texts similarly as my teacher did. I want to keep my students engaged for as long as I can and help them towards passions and skills that they'll use outside of the classroom, perhaps in the rest of their lives. The Chronicles of Harris Burdick is a collection of short stories that I think would really appeal to the students in a classroom setting. I believe each story creates great mystery, great suspense, and are very readable stories. I hope the mysterious tone and hook will help the students get engaged in that text and explore them. Throughout my podcast, I use the following sources: our class notes, lectures, and PowerPoints, the BC's new curriculum for grade 9 English Language Arts, Expanding Notions, a perspective on the challenges facing contemporary language arts teachers, written by you, published in 2005. Teaching Reading and Literature from the English Teacher's Survival Guide, second edition, by Mary Lou Brandvik and Catherine S. McKnight, published in 2011. Literature Circles, Voice and Choice in Books Clubs and Reading Groups, second edition, by Harvey Daniels, published in 2002. And Can We Read Today or Do We Have to Do English, by Peggy Silva, published in 2003. I hope you enjoyed my podcast.